exactly how animals felt at the zoo, because they were all staring at me. The women wore curious expressions and the guys were flat-out skeptical. Morgan's hand tightened at my waist as the quiet in the room became stifling. The island felt like a no-man's land, with Sam, Morgan, and I on one side and her friends on the other. "You were right," I told Sam. "Awkward is a good word." She scoffed and smacked my arm with the back of her hand.
"So did you four want me to get this swinging light bulb so you can sweat him out in an interrogation right here, or did you want to do it by the bonfire?"
Paisley rolled her eyes, then elbowed her husband when he looked like he was considering it. "I'd prefer the bonfire, since my friends are down there," I said with a small shrug. Morgan and I had set this up a few days ago, thinking it might be a little easier on everyone involved if we had a barbecue to kick off the weekend and break the tension, rather than waiting for Monday when we'd have another one, of course.
"I second the bonfire," Sam added. "Is that okay for Peyton?"
Morgan asked, her eyes drifting to the baby.
"There are still a couple of hours before sunset."
"Oh, sure,"
Paisley answered.
"We'll just grab a sunshade, baby."
"On it," Jagger answered, heading up the stairs. Guess that answered the question of where everyone was staying. Once Jagger had the shade, we took the back deck stairs to the path that wound over the dune, and Morgan laced her fingers through mine. "You doing okay?" I asked.
"Of course. Why wouldn't I be?"
She gave me a smile that didn't reach her eyes. I paused halfway up the dune and told Sam we'd meet them in a bit as she passed us.
"What's wrong?"
Morgan asked. Once the others were out of sight, I cupped her face in my hands and kissed her. She melted against me, and that simple kiss transformed into something far more intense than I had planned. When I lifted my head, her eyes were slightly glazed and her posture was infinitely more relaxed. "That's better," I said, tucking her hair behind her ear so I could see her face.
"What was that for?"
"To remind you that you don't have to put on a front for me. I know you're struggling with them here." She looked away and I tilted her head so she'd bring those eyes back to mine.
"What if I can't do this?"
"You can," I assured her. "And if it gets to be too much, you can head to my house and regroup. I'll say you have to feed the guinea pig."
"Even if it takes me an hour to regroup?"
she questioned, lifting an eyebrow. "She has a fish and a turtle too. Trust me. We can find an excuse." She laughed, and I kissed her nose. When we started back up the dune, I saw Paisley at the top, staring down at us with a mixture of confusion and happiness. Then her face fell slightly as she turned to walk back to the beach. "She misses you." I took Morgan's hand as we started climbing.
"She misses who I used to be," she said softly as we crested the dune.
"I'm not going to tell you how to feel or how to handle this. You tell me what you need me to be, and I'll be that, okay?"
"I just need you."
She squeezed my hand and surveyed the small gathering.
"You know they're going to grill you, right?"
"They wouldn't be good friends if they didn't." Knowing that fact didn't make the next hour any less painful. While Morgan sat with her friends, sneaking glances at me every few minutes, Josh and Jagger fired questions at me from both sides. She was close enough to hear my answers, but trusted me to hold my own and didn't interfere. "I'm 28. My daughter is 5. No, her mother and I aren't together. Yes, I like Morgan. We met when I pulled her out of her staircase. Yes, I know her contractor. Yes, he gave her fair estimates." On and on the questions came until I was pretty sure they were about to ask for my social security number so they could run a credit check. The only thing they hadn't asked.
"And what do you do for a living?" Josh asked.
"Ah, there it is. I'm a Coast Guard search and rescue pilot," I answered. Morgan's eyes locked with mine.
"Are you shitting me?"
Jagger leaned forward in his chair. "Nope." I winked at Morgan, hoping she'd relax enough to breathe. Her gaze flickered between the guys. "Been stationed here 5 years.
"Best damn pilot in the Outer Banks,"
Sawyer remarked as he dragged a chair through the sand and sat on the other side of Jagger.
"Other than me, of course."
"And so humble," I quipped. Sawyer raised his beer in salute.
"You're all pilots?"
Jagger glanced toward the grill where Moreno and Garrett argued over timing.
"Nah."
Sawyer shook his head.
"Javier's our best mechanic and Garrett is a rescue swimmer. His job makes us look like chicken shits, and that's Goodwin over by the water. He's another swimmer. Hastings, the guy next to him, is a pilot though. Those are their wives, Christina and Cassidy."
"And she knows?" Morgan knows? Josh dropped his voice.
Morgan knows everyone. It's not like Jackson keeps her locked away or anything.
Sawyer shrugged. Josh's eyes narrowed on mine. That's not what he's asking, I said to Sawyer before turning back to Josh. Yeah, Morgan knows. Appraising the level of tension, Morgan got to her feet and came around the timbers that we'd get around to lighting here in a few. And you know, Josh started.
Everything okay? She asked, taking a seat in my lap and resting her arm over my shoulders.
We're fine, I promised, putting my hand on her bare knee. They're just asking if you knew that I fly.
I know, she said softly. I don't like it, but I know. And honestly, once he took me up and I saw him rescue...
You got her up? Jagger's eyes flew wide. As in up in a helicopter.
Jagger Bateman, isn't that what I just said?
Morgan fired back, arching an eyebrow.
Don't you dare go asking questions about me like I'm not sitting right here.
I pressed my lips in a firm line to keep from laughing. Jagger sighed, but looked properly chastised.
Fine. Sorry. You actually went flying?
I did. It was terrifying and exhilarating all at the same time.
She smiled at me, and damn if that didn't make my chest constrict.
He saves lives. It's pretty incredible. Who saves lives?
Paisley asked, settling herself in Jagger's lap while Sam and Ember played with Peyton.
Jackson, Morgan answered. He's a search and rescue pilot with the Coast Guard.
This would have been so much more efficient if we'd just briefed everyone at once. Paisley blanched.
I'm sorry?
Jax is a search and rescue pilot with the Coast Guard,
Sawyer repeated slowly and at greater volume.
Me, too, and Hastings over there by the water.
Paisley blinked at Sawyer, then swung her face toward Morgan.
Honey, you're okay with that? Whether or not I'm okay with it doesn't change the facts.
Morgan shifted her legs.
Well, I know that. It's just...
Paisley's worried gaze flickered between Morgan and me.
Unexpected. Everything about Jackson is unexpected.
Her smile was slow as we locked eyes.
And besides, it's not like they deploy or anything.
My stomach sank.
What? Hell yeah, we do. We're deploying in 6 weeks.
Sawyer chimed in. Morgan's face drained of color and her body went rigid.
I'm not going, Kitty, I said softly, cupping her cheeks. I'm not deploying.
She swallowed, but it didn't take the terror out of her eyes.
The guys are deploying for 3 months to a cushy little outfit in the Caribbean. They needed a few of us to stay behind, and because I have Finley, I'm staying.
I kept my voice calm and even, despite the panic trying to claw its way out of my gut. It was as if my body was responding to hers, or maybe I was just that scared of losing her.
Finley?
She questioned. Right. I have a family care plan, but they took mercy on me. I don't have to go. I stroked my thumbs over her cheeks.
You're not going.
Breath by breath, she relaxed.
He's ditching us, Sawyer complained. But don't stress yourself, Morgan. We'll be back by the end of September.
You okay? Fuck, I should have talked to her about it way sooner than this, but I wasn't going, so it hadn't been at the top of my list. She nodded.
Paisley!
Ember laughed as Peyton grabbed fistfuls of her hair. Then her laugh turned to a grimace.
I've got you.
Sam picked Peyton up, but he didn't let go of Ember's hair.
Peyton Carter Bateman,
Paisley chided, hopping up from Jagger's lap.
I'll get him.
Morgan chuckled and headed over to untangle Ember's hair from Peyton's enthusiastic grip.
Peyton Carter, huh? I asked. Damn, this guy was everywhere.
Paisley beamed.
Yeah, he's named after my sister and...
Will, I answered. Her jaw dropped for a second before she composed herself.
She told you about him? Sam told me she was struggling with that, talking about him.
It's hard to ignore that giant truck in her front yard, but yeah, she's told me what she can. I tried to offer her a reassuring smile, and every day she's capable of a little more. Her expression shifted from shock to envy and settled on pure gratitude.
I'm glad she has you, Jax.
I'm lucky to have her.
Paisley, your son is freakishly strong,
Morgan called out. Jagger moved, but Paisley touched his forearm.
I've got him.
She rose from Jagger's lap and headed for the baby.
He likes the red hair, Jagger laughed. Man after my own heart,
Josh grinned as Paisley untangled Peyton from his wife's hair. "So you guys done with the interrogation?" I asked as the girls walked toward the beach.
"I'm good," Josh remarked. "Sam vouched for you."
"You worried about passing muster, Coasty?"
Jagger challenged with a smirk.
"Nope. I honestly don't give a fuck what you think about me, but it would sure make it easier on Morgan if you didn't think I was a complete dick." I shrugged.
"You can stay," Jagger laughed.
"How did you get Morgan on an aircraft anyway? Family day?"
I disguised her in a flight suit and walked her straight onto the bird. I watched as Morgan hefted Peyton to her hip in the dying light. She was going to make an incredible mother, if that's what she wanted. Shit, did she want kids? Was Finley an issue for her? Not every woman wanted a ready-made family.
"No shit," Josh questioned.
"No shit," Sawyer answered. "She handled herself like a champ, too, especially when that rescue got called in."
Hell yes, she had.
"God, I can hear Carter now," Josh groaned. "Regulations state that you're not allowed on this aircraft, Morgan."
His voice dropped into what was obviously an impression, but there was a soft smile on his face. Jagger laughed.
"He would have shit bricks. Can you imagine trying to get him to sneak someone on board? His little rule-loving heart would have imploded."
"Burgers in five," Javier yelled.
"Did you char that batch?"
Sawyer called back. Javier responded with a middle finger. "So, Will was a by-the-book kind of guy?" I didn't want to ask, but I wanted to know the answer. It was one thing to compete with a ghost, but a fucking saint? That was impossible.
"Will wrote the fucking book."
Jagger kept his eyes on his wife and son.
"He saw everything in black and white. There was no middle ground, no room for compromise."
"Even for Morgan," Josh remarked with a little head shake. "Hell, especially in the case of Morgan."
His voice dropped again.
"You can't wear that out in public, Morgan. What will people think?"
"Watch your tongue, Morgan,"
Jagger chimed in. Her tongue? "So you're saying he wasn't perfect?"
"Carter? Fuck no. He was ring knocker with a chip the size of Alabama on his shoulder," Jagger scoffed. "Always had to come in first. Always had to be right."
He swallowed.
"Always had to do the right thing, no matter what it cost him."
Josh dropped his head briefly. "She loved him. Hell, she still loves him." The confession was in the air before I could watch my tongue.
"Yeah, she sure did. But those two,"
Jagger whistled.
"I can't think of a time when they were in the same room where they weren't bickering."
Damn, I wished this bottle of water in my hand was something stronger. Josh studied me carefully.
"Why did you put her on that bird?"
"Because I wanted her to feel that rush at takeoff. I wanted her to experience what I do, what we do every time we fly. My hope was that she'd see the beauty of it, and it would help conquer her fear that I'd go down like the three of you did."
I kicked off my flip-flops and dug my feet into the sand.
"Will wouldn't have done it," Josh smiled to himself. "He would have told her that she was safer on the ground, and then he would have kept her there. He would have told her that her fear was unfounded because he was infallible in an aircraft."
"Will was born with this unconquerable urge to protect, and Morgan has never needed anyone's protection."
Jagger twisted his ball cap backward.
"Morgan needed someone capable of loving her, and then getting the fuck out of her way."
I watched her bounce Peyton lightly and introduce him to Christina as the girls headed back toward us.
"Bottom line, the guy was our friend. Fuck, I miss the asshole every day," Jagger continued. "But he sure as hell wasn't perfect, and the biggest thing he got wrong is something you've already gotten right."
"Enlighten me."
"You chose Morgan. He never did. He chose Peyton. He chose Paisley. When push came to shove, he even chose Josh and me, but he never chose Morgan. You did."
His voice quieted as the girls reached us. "Hell yes, I chose Morgan, and I always would. The fact that someone hadn't was mind-boggling."
"You done flirting with Auntie Morgan, little man?"
Jagger stood and took his son from Morgan's arms. She smiled, but it was tinged with sadness, and a corresponding ache flared in my chest. This scene was only possible because Will had given his life for them. Hell, I only had a shot with Morgan for the same reason.
"Oh, I brought something for you,"
Paisley exclaimed, dropping to her knees and digging something out of their diaper bag before standing again.
"We just sent them out last week, but I wanted to give it to you in person."
She handed Morgan an envelope.
"Thank you,"
Morgan said as she took it.
She slid a card from the ivory casing and her entire posture changed as she read it.
Burgers! Javier yelled.
I held up my finger in the universal symbol for, wait a fucking minute.
What?
Morgan whispered as her brow scrunched and her shoulders drew inward. Devastated. She looked completely and utterly devastated. What the fuck was on that card? I rose to my feet.
I thought you might want to come, you know, if you're feeling up to it.
Paisley's smile trembled.
Kitty? I questioned softly, coming to her side. I wasn't going to look over her shoulder or pry into anything she wasn't ready to welcome me into.
Morgan shoved the card at my chest and stared at the sand a few feet away.
On behalf of the President of the United States, the Secretary of the Army requests the pleasure of your company at the awarding of the Medal of Honor to William Carter. I stopped reading. Holy shit, Will was getting the Medal of Honor.
He would have wanted you there, Morgan,
Paisley said softly. Morgan shifted, and I forgot the card in my hand. My girl didn't have an ounce of that devastation on her face now. Oh no, it was all anger and indignation. The storm she'd fought so long and hard to keep off her coastline was here.
Little bird, Jagger said softly, touching his wife's elbow as he took in the same signs I did.
Morgan?
Paisley stepped forward, oblivious to the danger.
I might want to come?
Morgan's voice was so quiet the breeze off the ocean nearly carried it away.
Well, don't you?
Paisley took another step with obvious, honest concern. Ember and Sam positioned themselves so the group made a square, both watching the other women with all of the caution Paisley should have shown.
Honey, Jagger tried again, reaching for his wife's elbow. She shook him off.
He looked my way beseechingly, but I took one look at Morgan's rigid muscles, the fire in her eyes, and remembered that this was the stage in her therapy where she was supposed to confront the people who triggered her, and Paisley was the biggest trigger she had. I slowly shook my head at Jagger and stepped to the side, effectively getting the hell out of Morgan's way.
I might want to come? Morgan shouted. Are you fucking kidding me?
Chapter 18. Morgan. I'm showing up empty-handed to this party, and the most amazing thing about you is that you don't care. You just want me, and I can't figure out why, but I'm done fighting it. You want this mess? It's yours. Just enjoy your last 9 months of freedom. I mean, hopefully not too much or anything, because once I get home, we're doing this thing. Paisley drew back like I'd slapped her. Her shock and hurt were obvious, and I just didn't care. I was beyond caring. You don't want to come? Her brow puckered. You sent the invitations last week? You, Paisley, were given the invitations, and then you chose not to mail one to me? Not to let me know that Will, my Will, was getting the Medal of Honor? My voice didn't even sound like mine anymore. She blinked. I told you. I wanted to give it to you in person. You said you were struggling. I hadn't even invited you here when you mailed them out. What were you going to do? Wait until the week before the ceremony, just hoping that I'd be up for talking then? I hoped that you'd call, and you did. Well, you texted, which isn't really the same, but who the hell gave you the right to keep information about Will from me? Paisley's gaze darted to Ember, then Sam. Sam took a step closer. To support or restrain me? I didn't know, and I didn't give a shit. You said you were in therapy, that you couldn't talk about him, that you needed space. I was just trying to give you that space. I figured that when you were ready, you'd call and I'd tell you. Sweet mercy, the woman had the audacity to look hurt. God, I'm trying so hard, I screamed at the sky. I thought I was ready for this, but maybe I'm not. Don't walk away, she begged when I retreated a step. Morgan, you've been my best friend all my life, and the silent treatment is killing me. Killing you? I fumbled for words as my soul scraped over a cheese grater cut to tiny, shredded pieces by the blades of my anger and my own guilt for feeling it.
It's killing you. Please talk to me. If it's the invitation, then you don't have to come. And I wasn't trying to keep it from you. I swear, I was just trying to protect you, like you've protected me our entire lives.
Her hands rose beseechingly as if she could tug me back to emotionally stable ground. Spoiler alert, there wasn't any emotionally stable ground. There hadn't been in years. I was more combustible than the unlit bonfire next to us. It's a little late to start protecting me, Paisley Lynn. All the color drained from her face, and her hand rose to her chest. A nervous tell from when her heart hadn't been healthy.
Morgan, you have to talk to me.
Raw, ugly emotion bubbled in that little container I kept it locked up in. I was a shaken soda, and Paisley was twisting my top.
I can't.
My anger would eat her alive, and that was something she didn't deserve.
You can, she urged.
Those hideous feelings started to hiss as she cracked my seal.
How long have you known he was getting the medal? I questioned, looking for any reason to hold on to my composure. Was it last week when the invitations came?
Regret slackened her shoulders.
No, Daddy told me 6 weeks ago, right before you told me you needed space.
I exploded.
6 weeks? You've known for 6 weeks?
She pressed her lips in a thin line and nodded.
I'm so sorry. Did you know?
I pivoted my rage at Ember. She glanced between Paisley and me, then nodded.
Yeah, but we live right next. You?
I faced Sam. She put her hands up. Don't look at me. I had no clue. She pinned a look on Josh and Jagger.
And neither does Grayson.
He's got bigger things on his mind, Josh muttered but dropped his gaze. And mail takes longer to get there. Plus, we knew you were taking care of Morgan and Paisley said she's been delicate.
Unbelievable, Sam snapped. I should have told you.
Paisley's voice dripped with regret.
You should have told me he was dead.
The whole world stilled. In my peripheral vision, I saw Sawyer sneak away, motioning to Christina and her husband to do the same. It was just us, the Sunday dinner crew, and Jackson, who was silent and strong at my side.
I don't understand,
Paisley said softly.
You never did,
I spat, shaking my head.
How did you find out Will was dead?
Her lips parted. The officers came to the door. I was with Ember, and they told us Will had been killed. Then they gave us the news that Jagger and Josh were both seriously injured. I nodded, processing the information.
I was in the jam aisle at Publix when Sam called.
I tried to swallow the lump of anxiety that formed in my throat, but it wouldn't move. I arched my neck, but no matter how many times I worked my throat, it stuck there like a damned rock.
What's wrong? Paisley asked, moving forward. Give her a second.
Sam stepped between us. Kitty, Jackson whispered, pressing an opened bottle of water into my hand. I chugged half the bottle, then took deep breaths and visualized the muscles relaxing.
I'd told this story in Dr. Searcy's office for the last 6 weeks and listened to myself tell it every single morning. I could do this.
Thank you. I handed Jackson the bottle and threw him a fragile smile. He winked and squeezed my hand as he took it back.
I was in the jam aisle at Publix, and Sam called. That jar of jam slipped from my hands and shattered all over that tacky linoleum, red like blood as it splattered my feet. And she didn't have the details. That was something only you got, since you were listed as his next of kin.
Paisley's hands fell to her sides.
I don't remember much about leaving the store, but slowly it's coming back to me the more I hear myself tell the story. I left the buggy in the middle of the aisle, didn't even tell the workers that I'd made a mess, and I stumbled to my car as Sam told me she was on her way to me. She was getting on a plane from Colorado. I sat in that parking lot for 2 hours, just staring out the windshield, and when I tried to call my very best friend and she didn't answer, I wrapped my arms around myself.
I must have been on the plane already. Her voice was soft.
Jagger's father flew us straight to Germany.
And you didn't pick up the phone. Not once.
Shit, Ember muttered.
It's okay, Ember, I assured her. You told Sam to check on me. God knows how long I would have gone without knowing if you hadn't. So thank you.
Oh, God. Paisley's mouth opened and shut a few times as she looked at Ember, then back at Jagger. Morgan, I wasn't thinking clearly. My husband was injured.
The man I loved was dead.
My hands flew into fists.
You don't think I made your excuses time and again? I knew you were underwater. God knows I prayed for Josh and Jagger to heal quickly, and I'm honestly so grateful for their lives. But you abandoned me until the day of the funeral, and then you invited me to sit in the front pew like it was yours, like he was yours.
Paisley's lower lip trembled. I didn't mean to do that.
At what point did you remember that I loved him, Paisley? Was it when your daddy made his funeral all about Will's love for you? His sacrifice so your husband could live? Was it when I held you up at the graveside as they buried the only man I've ever loved?
My voice cracked. Morgan, she whispered.
You want to know why I can't bear to be around you? It's because every time I see your face and hear you gush about how damned happy you are, all I can think is how fucking unfair everything is.
Tears stung my eyes.
You got Jagger back. Ember got Josh. Sam has Grayson. And I have a fucking truck that I can't sit in without having an anxiety attack.
She reached for me and I stepped back. It wasn't in her nature to watch suffering and do nothing about it. But in this case, there was nothing she could do.
Do you know what causes complicated grief?
It's a breakdown in the grieving process, Paisley answered, letting her hand fall back to her side. Usually caused by an overwhelming guilt that you could have stopped the death from happening or the inability to accept the injustice of it. I read up when you told me why Sam was here. I would have come if you'd let me. I would have stayed with you.
I ignored her last two statements. Your happily ever after came at the expense of mine. That's why I can't be around you. That's why I'm still crippled by a grief that you all think about from time to time, and I would never want you to feel this. Not in a million years would I ever wish this kind of debilitating pain on you. I wouldn't trade Jagger's life for Will's. How many times have I told you how grateful I am that you still have Jagger?
I've lost count. A tear streaked down her face.
And how many times have you considered what life would be like if the tables had been turned? If Jagger had died for Will? If my happiness had cost yours?
She startled.
We have Peyton. You're right. You have your gorgeous son. And he has Will's name, and I shrugged. I don't even have the right to grieve him or to be told that he's getting the Medal of Honor for choosing to die for you instead of living for me.
That's not what I meant. Of course you do. And I know that what you had with Will was complicated. But it breaks my heart for you to think that he was your happily ever after when everything was so up in the air with you two and what you have here up in the air.
We were finally on the damned ground.
What?
Paisley. Why do you think he left me a secondary life insurance policy? Left me his truck? Left me his wings and his dog tags? It's because he left me with a promise, too. He drove down to see me before he deployed, and he told me we'd be together when he got home.
Paisley's breath rushed out. I didn't know. Ember's face twisted, and she blinked back tears.
You didn't know a lot. I was the one who held him together after you dumped him. I was the one who had his wings engraved and then pinned them on his chest. I was the one he kissed the night of the flight school graduation ball, the one he gave a silver wings necklace to, and the one he kissed for the last time days before he died. I was the last phone call he made before that goddamned flight, Paisley, so don't you sit there and tell me that I didn't lose my chance.
You were so lost in your own happiness that you didn't even know I had it to begin with. My stomach turned at the realization that this rift had started way before Will's death. It had been growing since she'd moved up to Fort Campbell. Funny how I'd always stayed behind for her, but she'd left at the first opportunity. Oh, God, Morgan, she whispered. I was shattered and barely breathing, but I held it together during that funeral, and then I kept breathing when you shit all over my dream and pulverized my feelings between your sweet little fingers when you said he was never meant to be mine anyway. Wait, what? She moved forward again, and I retreated, keeping our little dance. Morgan, I never said he wasn't meant to be yours. I would never discourage your dream. God, we all saw the way he looked at you, the way you drove him crazy. I knew that if anyone could break through that shell he kept around his soul, it would be you. It would have been you. I scoffed and shook my head as the horrid, disgusting feelings I'd tried so hard to overcome overruled my genuine love for my best friend. So you didn't stand over Will's body and tell Josh that Will was where he was meant to be? Her widened eyes focused on Josh. What was it you said? I tilted my head at my best friend. He's with Peyton, right? And he could have gone on to get married and have a family, but no love would ever compare to what he felt for her. I hear those words every time I see your face. They tasted like acid and ate away at what emotional defenses I had intact. I'd only ever spoken them to Dr. Searcy. Fuck, Josh hissed, shoving his hands in the pockets of his shorts. Morgan, that was... You were... Paisley shook her head and glanced around our group like they'd give her the answer. What, private? Do you honestly think anything in this group is private? I accused. Amber heard you, remember? And she got understandably upset, because Josh wasn't talking to her about what had happened over there, but he'd somehow managed to talk to you, right? So Amber called Sam for a little support, and Sam happened to be in my hotel suite checking on me. Oh, shit, Sam cursed. I never meant for you to hear that. I know, I told her softly. You were in the living room because I could barely pull myself out of bed, and you put it on speaker because Amber wanted Grayson's point of view, too. I've never blamed you. I wouldn't have made it through any of this without you. Her lips pursed as she struggled to compose herself, but she managed a nod. I didn't mean that he wouldn't have been able to love you, Paisley swore. But not as much as Peyton, I countered. Just because my last name isn't Donovan doesn't mean I wasn't capable of making him happy. I didn't think that. You didn't think of me at all, I countered. He was called home to your sister, right? Now they finally had a chance to be happy. That's what you said. My eyes stung, and my vision wobbled through the sheen of gathering tears. Her lower lip trembled. How the hell can someone who calls herself my best friend stand there and say that his only chance at happiness was in death? You knew I loved him. I jabbed a finger at her. Am I that horrible? That unlovable in your eyes, that you would rather see him dead with your sister than alive with me? I might not be as sweet and kind and perfect as you are, but that doesn't mean I wasn't worthy of him. Hot, angry tears fell from my eyes, and I didn't wipe them away. Let her see them. Let them all see them. No, sweet mercy, Morgan, no! Paisley shook her head. Of course you're worthy and lovable, and it kills me that you think that... Then why? The raw cry ripped from my throat. Why would you say he was meant to be dead instead of mine? She took a deep breath and glanced at Josh. Because it was what Josh needed to hear. And just what the hell did you think I needed to hear? The tears fell quickly now, their warmth stolen by the ocean breeze as they reached my jawline. I don't know, she admitted quietly, but I can see now that I didn't say it to you. You didn't bother with me, my voice fell. You were pregnant, And Jagger had 3 billion surgeries. I know that, logically. You were exhausted and scared and dealing with a whole host of things. I remember because when you'd call, that's all we'd talk about. And it was my fault, too. I should have told you back then, but I'd gotten so used to protecting your feelings that I didn't know how to be honest with mine. So I kept quiet and faked my way through the days and the weddings and the phone calls. But the nights, I can't fake those. And because no one saw fit, I waved my hand at Josh and Jagger, to take the time to show up and tell the woman who loved Will exactly how he actually died. I get to picture it, playing out differently in every nightmare, every night. But it's okay since it's just me going through it and not any of you. And hey, that's better than making you guys relive it, right? Who cares that I don't know as long as it doesn't inconvenience you? But the thing is that my therapist wants me to have this imaginary conversation with Will that's supposed to take place where he died, which is ludicrous, but I can't argue because the therapy is working. But I can't even do that because I have no idea what happened that night. Shit, Morgan, I didn't realize. Josh grimaced. Don't worry yourself. It's par for the course around here, and I pieced a little together between what you said at the funeral and the bits Amber relayed from the cemetery, which wasn't much. What was it you said, Josh? Paisley loved him more than all of us, right? That's why you avoided her. I leveled my stare on him, and he deflated. They had dated. And I knew they were still tight, and I felt so fucking guilty for living when he didn't. Josh said in explanation. She didn't love him most. I screamed the words I'd held back for far too long. I did! I turned back to Paisley, who now had Jagger's arm around her waist. Even now she was supported. I loved him most, not you, not Peyton. She never chose him. She broke him. Then you had him and still chose Jagger, remember? I'm the one who always chose Will when I wasn't prioritizing your happiness. I chose Will. You didn't. The fact that he didn't bother to choose me back until he was on his way to become a martyr doesn't change the fact that I loved him most. My gaze dropped to Paisley's wings, the necklace she'd been given the night of the flight school ball. He might have died with Peyton's name on his lips, but it was my necklace he had around his neck. The necklace that Grayson brought back with Will's body, the one he and Sam helped me put into the casket with him the night before we buried him, because if I had his wings, then he should have mine. And now it's 2 years later, and you're all just over it. Over him. You're healed and happy and married and parents and pregnant. And even though I love you all, I hate you for it. He was supposed to come home to me, not get buried next to her. A sob tore from my throat, and I crumpled. Strong arms wrapped around me, and I was enveloped by the scent of the ocean and Jackson as he held me against his chest. It's okay. He murmured against my hairline as I sobbed into his shirt, grabbing fistfuls of the material to assure myself that he was real. He was here. I needed to not be here. Morgan, Paisley pled. But Sam stepped between us. Sam, please, I just need to talk to her. Let me make this better. I need to talk to her. Paisley, you know I love you, but this is not about you or what you need right now, Sam replied in a tone that was kind, but firm. Since when am I the third wheel around here? You might be the one she chose to come live with her, but that's my best friend, Samantha. Move! I know you are not yelling at me for your own fuck-up, Paisley Bateman. None of what's going down right now is my fault, and I get that your emotions are high and rightfully so. But you're just going to have to let those suckers take a backseat to Morgan's for once. I couldn't see either of their faces, but Paisley's indrawn breath said it all. And if you can't do that. Sam's voice softened. If you honestly can't listen to the pain she's in without trying to fix it, then you might need to pack up that beautiful baby and your handsome husband and take them home until you can. You can't fix this, and she's not asking you to. She's just being honest for the first time in years and letting you know where she's at. And I know you want to help her. I know you love her, and you've never intentionally hurt her. We both know that this is one giant mess made by some pretty all-around shitty circumstances. But that doesn't change the fact that Morgan got lost and left behind.
My breathing regulated with Jackson's steady heartbeat as Sam gave me the time I needed to calm myself. His arms felt so good around me, safe, secure. He held me like I was something he cherished, because he did. God, I didn't deserve this man who held me carefully as I cried out my grief for another.
I never wanted this to happen, Paisley said softly.
My heart ached at the misery in her voice. I never wanted this either.
Never wanted my feelings to harm her. Never wanted to lose Will. Never wanted to tangle my heart up in another flyboy I'd have to bury.
None of us did, Sam answered. But you can't help her right now, as good as your intentions are, and as much as I value our friendship and the bond we all have, I can't stand here and let you slap a let-me-make-this-better band-aid over a festering, infected wound just because it'll help you sleep tonight.
My eye caught on the invitation to Will's ceremony as it dangled from Jackson's fingers, and I felt that same rage bubble to the surface. Maybe letting the fire out of my soul hadn't extinguished it, but fed it instead.
I need to regroup. Jackson nodded once.
Well, as fun as this is, we're going to take a little break and feed my daughter's guinea pig.
Jackson tilted his head and looked down at me.
We might need to feed the turtle, too.
He took my hand, put himself between my closest friends and me, and started to walk us toward the dune.
Are you coming back? Paisley asked, her voice breaking. Do you want us to go?
I paused, gathered my composure, and then turned around to face them without letting go of Jackson's hand.
I need a break, because when I look at that invitation, the only place I want to tell you to go is to hell, Lee. I'll be damned if I'm going to watch you accept his posthumous award while everyone cheers because we both know his mama isn't going to sober up enough to do it.
Her eyes flared, and then her face fell. Right, that's what I thought. My stomach turned at the prospect of watching it all go down. Will made you his primary next of kin, and that gives you access to all the information, and I get it. You just wanted to honor him while trying to navigate my delicate feelings that you knew nothing about. But you do now. So I'm leaving in the hopes that by the morning, this feeling will pass and I can calm myself down enough that I won't tell you to take that award ceremony and shove it up your perfect ass, because this is the last time I will ever let any of you think that your grief or your love for Will is deeper or stronger than mine. Losing that man drove me to actual insanity. And as far as I can see, you're all doing just fine. They stared at me with varying degrees of shock, with the exception of Sam, who smirked.
Ember, the coffee maker is plugged into the dining room since I don't have any counters. Sam can show you where I put the extra towels, and she knows how to work the alarm and the sliding windows. And Sam, if you wouldn't mind making my apologies to our Outer Banks friends, y'all have a good night. I sure do appreciate you coming all the way down here to see me.
My eyes narrowed.
And if any of you so much as touch his truck, so help me God, there will not be enough time and space in the world to calm me down. Night!
I flashed a fake smile they all would have accepted as real before this blow-up and walked over the dune with Jackson, who had just witnessed my entire tirade over another man.
Are you okay?
He asked, handing me the invitation. Are you? I challenged softly. I never meant for you to hear all that. I can't imagine how you must feel right now. His jaw ticked for a second, but he lifted my hand and kissed the back of it.
I feel proud of you.
That's not what I meant. I shook my head. I don't want you to think you're in some kind of competition with Will.
But I am.
He shrugged as we paused between our houses. I have been since the moment we met. I'm not the guy to lay down my life. Not with Finn at home. I'm the guy who figures out a way for everyone to live. But that out there?
He motioned toward the beach. That wasn't about me.
Jackson. My heart sank with guilt.
It's okay.
He cradled my face.
And when it comes to you, I might be a few laps behind in this race, but I've got a slight advantage on the guy.
You're alive? Sarcasm rolled heavily off my tongue.
I wasn't going there.
A corner of his mouth lifted. Time, Morgan.
I have time, and the persistence to use it. Now, what do you want to do with the rest of our night?
Take me to bed.
His forehead crinkled. I thought you wanted some space from your friends.
Right. Take me to your bed. Chapter 19. Morgan. Here's the thing. If I don't make it back from this, you can't lock that big, beautiful heart away. When that guy comes along, and trust me, he will, you have to take the chance. Substantial, scrumptious warmth surrounded me as I opened my eyes. I blinked rapidly to bring the world into focus and tried to make sense of the heavy, masculine furniture and hunter green comforter. I was in Jackson's bed. That was his arm draped over my waist, his strong body cradle in mine. I waited for the panic to set in or a warning bell that I'd been reckless to crawl into his bed last night, but all I felt was calm, soothing heat. His bedroom looked out over the ocean, and I watched the waves crash ashore with a steady rhythm that nearly lulled me back to sleep. The sky was gray and thick with heavy clouds as a storm moved in, but they didn't worry me since Jackson wasn't going to work today. Guess the weather hadn't gotten the memo that Hurricane Morgan had already made landfall last night. I'd ripped my friends apart. And though I probably should have been nicer, gentler about it, every word I'd spoken had been true. Will would have been horrified and ashamed of me for what I'd put Paisley through. Jackson had been proud of me for finally being honest. Careful not to wake him. I rolled slowly in his arms and watched him sleep like the borderline obsessed woman I was. He was so beautiful that my entire body heated just looking at him. It didn't hurt that he slept shirtless either. The man was cut in ways that had to be illegal in some states. But even as incredibly good-looking as he was, it was his heart that held me in thrall. He was fiercely protective, yet gentle when he touched me. His loyalty and persistence were unmatched by any guy I'd ever been around, and yet he never pushed me for more than I was ready to give. He let me move at my own pace without so much as hinting that it was too slow for him. He'd mastered the art of emotional seduction by patience, and that was harder than the lines of roped muscles down his stomach, or even the inked lines of latitude and longitude that ran along his side. My heart, my stupid, foolish heart, ached with a sharp, sweet throb. You cannot fall for this man, not while you still love Will. I did, right? I still loved Will. But every day that passed, every therapy assignment I conquered, softened the intensity of that emotion. The more time I spent with Dr. Searcy, the more I realized that Will wasn't a sea of grief anymore. He was a mountain in my life, maybe even the mountain. No matter where I stood, I could still see him to the west, but I'd gained enough distance that he didn't dominate my existence anymore. He was a landmark I could guide myself by, comfort in his permanence. But somewhere in the last few months, it was Jackson who had become the ocean to my east, deep, calming, and steady, just like those waves that pounded the shore behind me. And he was a touch reckless, too,
bending the rules he found inconvenient and breaking the ones that got in his way. But for every danger he might bring, he was also gentle and tenacious enough to transform a broken bottle into a priceless piece of sea glass. I examined the strong lines of Jackson's face, so different from Will's, and maybe it was wrong to compare, but I did it anyway. Jackson was bigger, taller. His body sharper than Will's compact, lithe frame had been. But he was also soft in the areas where Will had been unyielding. Jackson had no problem standing his ground, but he also knew when to compromise, when to concede, and when to take the risk. I would even argue that he did the latter far too often. Will had seen the world as black and white, right or wrong. Jackson would argue that there were 10,000 shades between the two. My chest tightened the longer I studied him, but the butterflies in my belly were nowhere to be found. There was nothing to be nervous about anymore when I was in Jackson's arms. I couldn't do or say the wrong thing because he wanted me just as I was, hot mess and all. He hadn't questioned my need to sleep next to him, either. You didn't watch the video last night. That's twice. The realization hit me at the same time that Jackson opened his eyes. My heart skipped, and that ache increased 100-fold as he gave me the sleepiest, sexiest smile I'd ever seen while he stretched. You cannot fall for him. You cannot. Oh, God, it's too late, isn't it? What I felt for Will was entirely separate from the emotions that overpowered me when it came to Jackson. How the hell was I capable of both? Good morning. His voice was scratchy with sleep as his gaze raked over me. You look incredible in my shirt. Are you regretting last night's gentlemanly concern for my virtue? I teased, hoping he couldn't see how unsettled I felt beneath my smile. Not even a little bit. That smile shifted to a smirk. You have the restraint of a saint. I rolled my eyes, knowing he could have taken me four different ways last night, and I would have loved every minute of it. A millisecond later, I was yanked against Jackson from chest to thigh, his hands like soft vices on my hips, and his very large, very hard erection straining between us. Does that feel saintly? He asked at my ear before running his tongue along the shell. Because the things I want to do to you definitely put me in the sinner column. I couldn't even make an intelligent sound as he kissed his way down my neck. I was all about the sinner column. How the hell do you smell so good? He muttered. God, I love waking up to you in my bed. We need to make this a regular thing. I have my own house, you know. My thighs shifted against his as he found a spot that turned me on like a freaking light switch. Fine. He nipped at the base of my throat, and I slid my thigh over his. We'll sleep here when Finn's home, and at your place when she's not. See how good I am at compromise. Uh-huh. Is she used to seeing women in your bed? He flipped me to my back and rose over me with a look of pure disgust. Hell no, she's not. She's never seen me in bed with a woman who wasn't her mother. And it's been so long since that happened, I doubt she even remembers, since she was probably about 18 months old. I don't bring women home, Morgan. Not here, not ever. This is where I raise Finn. But I'm here, and I qualify as a woman. He cocked an eyebrow. Yeah. Which should tell you that this means something to me. You mean something to me. And it's not casual. My breath caught. I thought we were in an exclusive non-relationship. I raised my hand to his cheek and lightly stroked my palm over his raspy, unshaved skin. Sweet heavens, I was going to drown in his eyes if he kept looking at me like that. You can call it whatever you want, Kitty. Labels don't matter to me unless they matter to you. I know what we are. And like I said, it's not casual. He settled between my thighs, and I hooked my ankle around his waist. His gaze dropped to my lips as his breath hitched. I'm all in. That sweet ache in my heart devoured my common sense, and I pressed my lips together to keep the ill-advised words behind my teeth where they belonged. What's wrong? Concern filled his eyes. I shook my head and pressed harder. Morgan, you gotta talk to me. He lifted his thumb to my chin and gently pressed down so my lips parted, then touched the barest of kisses to my mouth. I think I'm falling for you, I admitted in a rush, then prayed that the words had slurred or come out in French, Japanese, Russian, or any other language he didn't speak. He smiled, and it blew the previous sexy, sleepy one right out of the freaking water. I was in trouble. So much trouble. Well, say something. The look he gave me was so tender it made my eyes burn. I don't need to think. I already know. I'm just glad you're catching up, because I am so far gone for you that I can't even see the shore anymore. Oh. I pounced, claim in his mouth in a kiss as I grabbed onto whatever parts of him I could reach. The nape of his neck and the smooth, firm skin of his back became my only anchors as he parted my lips with his tongue and sank inside. He kissed me so long and so hard that by the time he lifted his head, we were both panting, watching each other with lust-glazed eyes before diving in for round two. I was never going to get enough of this man. My need for him only grew each time he kissed me. My hips arched against his, and the hard length of him stroked over the lace of my thong with enough force to push the fabric against my clit. Jackson, I moaned, as the sensation rocketed through my body, prickling my skin. His hand clenched my hip to hold me still as he repeated the motion. We both groaned. Two pieces of cloth separated our skin, and it was too much. I wanted him naked so I could feel every inch of him against me. I wanted him inside me, hard and deep. The muscles of my core clenched with a need so intense that I whimpered. This wasn't just 4 years of pent-up sexual need talking. This was all because of Jackson. Just Jackson. His shirt had ridden to my waist, and he tugged it up and over my breasts before lowering his head to one peak and teasing that nipple until it pebbled, and then the other, all while thrusting against me in a painfully, deliciously slow rhythm that had my nails digging little half moons into his skin. He moved like we had all day, like we had an eternity in this bedroom. His touches were unhurried and deliberate as he kissed every exposed inch of my skin. The man drove me insane. Every sensation pounded through my veins before it gathered low in my belly, where it built a maddening tension. Jackson, I grabbed his hand and slid it down my belly, between our bodies, and pressed it against my center. He rose slightly, just enough to look in my eyes with a question. Please, I reiterated. Without looking away, he pushed the lace aside and swept his fingers from my opening to my clit. I gasped, but held his gaze. Fuck, Morgan, you're so wet for me. His jaw clenched, and his brow furrowed with the effort of restraint. If I hadn't been wet before, the combination of those words and his sandpaper-rough voice would have gotten me there. He repeated the stroke and swirled his fingers around my clit, bringing every nerve to life without giving me the very thing I needed. I arched my neck, and my eyes slid shut at the exquisite pleasure his hands gave. Stay with me, he demanded. My eyes flew open and I saw it, a tiny flicker of apprehension in his depths. What would make him worry even the slightest bit when his hands were on me? Stay with me. That ache in my heart sharpened with realization, and I gripped the back of his neck. I'm right here, Jackson. I knew exactly who I was with. He brushed his lips over mine, then plunged two fingers inside me, keeping his eyes locked on mine. The pleasure stole my very breath. I cried out as he plunged again and rubbed his fingers against the front of my walls before withdrawing, only to repeat again and again. Every stroke pitched me higher. The pleasure sharpened, and the tension within me wound tighter.
More,
I demanded, riding his hand with greedy rocks of my hips.
You feel so damned good.
He flicked over my clit with his thumb, and I moaned. It was too much, and yet not enough. Wet and slick, and so fucking perfect.
You're killing me.
His words, his touch, the very way he looked at me had me poised on a razor's edge.
Then you know exactly how I feel.
He thrust again.
Do you know how good we're going to be together? How hard it is to touch you like this and not replace my fingers with my cock.
Who's stopping you? I challenged, rising to kiss him. He groaned, consuming me with his kiss as his fingers stroked me to the edge of reason.
Jackson.
My fingers tightened at his neck as that tension rose to consume me.
That's it, kitty. Right there.
His thumb worked my clit, and as my thighs locked, he pressed on that bundle of nerves and sent me flying. I screamed his name as the orgasm washed over me in a tsunami of pure bliss, only to ride out the next wave and the next, until my body fell limp against the sheets and my breaths came in heaving gasps. Did it last minutes? Hours? Who cared?
I could watch you do that all day.
He said against my lips as his fingers withdrew. I want you. I gripped his ass and brought our hips flush so he wouldn't mistake my meaning.
Kitty.
He groaned, dropping his mouth to my neck.
Now.
Now, before I could overthink my choice or give in to the guilt that was sure to follow. He lifted his head and had the nerve to smirk, but there was a fine tremble in his arms.
Demanding little thing, aren't you?
Yes, I replied with a grin. He laughed, and it was the best sound I'd ever heard.
Are you sure about this?
Sure enough to tell you to get a condom. I'd never wanted anyone like I wanted him, only him, not even...
Don't go there.
His eyes darkened. Footsteps sounded in a steady run, sounding like they were heading up...
She's coming up the stairs.
Jackson finished my thought. Shit! He yanked his shirt down to cover my breasts and whipped the comforter over us. I hadn't even noticed we'd thrown it off. The door burst open and Finley appeared.
Hi, Daddy!
Kill me now. Right now, Lord. Mortification heated my already flushed cheeks. I was literally under her father.
Hey, baby. What are you doing home?
He propped himself up on his elbows and grinned. How the hell did he sound so calm? Why wasn't he panicked and scrambling? Why was he holding me prisoner so I couldn't panic and scramble?
Mommy brought me. She has an audition, so I got to come home early.
She bounced with excitement and waved at me.
Hi, Morgan.
Strike me dead this very moment. Can this possibly get any worse?
Hey, Finn,
I managed with a shaky smile. I would have waved, but my hands were currently pinned between my body and her father's. Not like I was telling her that. Jackson barely disguised his confusion.
An audition? Huh. Well, I'm just happy to have you home. You know, Cousteau could probably use some breakfast.
Right. I'm on it. One fishy breakfast coming up.
She turned and ran smack into Claire.
Sorry, Mom.
Yep. It's worse. Claire stared at us with an open mouth, a mixture of hurt and shock twist in her features for a heartbeat. Then her eyes raked over us and narrowed in a rage so palpable the hairs on my arm stood up.
What the hell are you doing, Jax?
He tilted his head.
What does it look like I'm doing, Claire? Better question. What are you doing in my bedroom?
It looks like you're confusing the shit out of our daughter, who definitely didn't need to see this. How could you?
She snapped, ignoring his question. Jackson didn't even huff. Funny, I could have sworn I locked the front door last night. She snorted.
I used my mother's key. Trust me, honey. If I'd known you'd be up here getting your dick wet with the next door neighbor, I would have called first.
I cringed. Jackson tensed.
and now you've pissed me off. So you can get the fuck out, Claire.
Why would you talk to me like that? She pressed her hand to her heart.
You're lucky Finn is down the hall, or I would have said far worse, far louder. Now get out of my bedroom.
She blinked, as if just realizing she'd overstepped her bounds.
I need to talk to you about our daughter.
Great, and we can do that downstairs. You're not welcome on the second floor. Now, get out.
His voice dropped to a dangerous chill that I never wanted to hear used in my direction. Ever. She glanced between us and sighed.
Fine. I'll meet you downstairs. And just so you know, there's a line of people at the bottom of the stairs waiting to see you.
A line? My friends. Were they still my friends? Crap. There went my buzz.
Out! Jackson snapped.
She fled. His eyes were nothing but gentle when he turned them on me.
You okay?
You know that nightmare where you're naked in the hallway of your high school and you've forgotten your homework? That bad? Worse. But I'm fine. You go handle your baby mama drama, and I'll find some clothes.
He pressed a kiss to my forehead.